Now, did you learn a new skill during the pandemic? Maybe baking sourdough bread, pottery, or maybe you finally got around to doing that project you've been putting off for years. Maybe writing a novel, maybe starting a business. Or maybe you didn't do any of those things, but you felt like you were supposed to be doing them. You may have seen one of the many tweets and articles reminding us that Shakespeare, after all, wrote King Lear during a plague. For the past year and a half, it's been hard not to absorb the American fixation with productivity and growth. And it's this idea that you were supposed to be working on becoming a more ideal version of yourself, even though there was, and really still is, a global pandemic going on. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Did you feel pressure to be productive or learn something new during the pandemic? Where do you think that pressure came from? And did you learn something new, or, you know, maybe you just kind of, you hung out and you dealt with everything going on. That is okay. We want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Anna North joins us now. She's a senior correspondent at Vox, where she writes about care work and education. Anna, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So as we were talking about, there was this big moment, it felt like, maybe at the beginning of the pandemic, where it felt like, hey, use this time because it's going to be a couple of weeks, but then it stretched into 15 months plus where you could become a better version of yourself. You could become more fit. You could write that novel. Where did this really come about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this started, as you say, like at the very beginning, you know, if not at the beginning of the pandemic, then at the beginning of when, you know, lockdowns sort of were announced in the United States. And we saw, you know, I think some of it was well-intentioned, people trying to deal with their own circumstances or trying to advise people. I mean, I remember, you know, in March and even in April of 2020, there was a lot of just advice going around the internet about how are you even going to cope with this? And I think in some cases the advice was like, yeah, bake some bread, you know, get into gardening, get into this, get into that. And in a lot of cases, it wasn't necessary. It wasn't like malicious or anything like that. But the fact remained that there was this assumption that people had a lot of extra time on their hands. And that really wasn't true for a lot of people. I mean, you think about essential workers who are on the front lines, you know, in hospitals or doing deliveries or working in grocery stores. And then, you know, you think about parents who are suddenly taking care of their kids at home all day, trying to teach them school. You know, I think there was a subset of people who found themselves like at home with extra time, but it just was by no means everyone.
Yeah, and it felt like at the beginning, if we're looking back, that people would have time, but that didn't come to fruition, as you said, for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that there's this relentless spin to put a positive lens on everything that sometimes doesn't take into account really what is going on out there. Did you, as you were writing your piece for Vox, did you get that from anyone that you talked to, that there was this mismatch between what was really going on and the push for a positive spin?
100%. I mean, I heard from, I think, a couple of experts sort of talking about the idea of toxic positivity in American culture, where, you know, it's fine, you know, for individual people to try to put the best spin on their circumstances if that helps them. But I think sometimes we see, especially in the United States, sometimes an inability to sort of deal with things that are hard and a pressure to say like, no, it's actually fine. It's a good thing. Like, here's how we're going to all become better people and, you know, get really fit by doing yoga in front of our computers and whatever. And the lack of a sense that like, it's okay to accept that sometimes things are really terrible.
I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Kaylee in Whitewater. Hi, Kaylee.
Hi there. Yeah, during the pandemic, I picked up embroidery. And though it's a really fun hobby, I found that the enjoyment that I got from it was not based on the hobby alone. It was more from being able to do something without an economic incentive. I was just really grateful that I had the time and ability to do something that I didn't have to try to make money off of. Because like you said, Americans do have this fixation with productivity. But I don't think it's a uniquely American thing. I think it's just a result of the economic system that that we participate in. So I'm just really glad that I sort of got a break from the hustle, as some people put it, and got a new hobby out of it as well.
And Kaylee, if you can stay on the line for just one second, you know, embroidery is a very tactile hobby. It requires a lot of focus. Did this hobby allow you to kind of, you know, meditate a little, maybe kind of tune out to the world around you a little bit?
Oh, most definitely, especially because a big part of, or a common motif in embroidery is sort of botanical designs and stuff like that. So it was really nice just to sit out in nature and sew the things I saw around me, which, you know, wouldn't have been able to do if I was working. So it was nice to be able to think more about what was going on at this point in time.
Kaylee, thank you so much for that call and good luck with your embroidery. So, Anna, I heard a couple of things with Kaylee's call. And the first one was it was an activity that didn't require really an economic component. She wasn't doing it as a side hustle or anything like that. It was purely for her enjoyment. You know, as you were writing this piece, did you hear from people who did have success, you know, picking something up, learning something when it didn't feel like they had to capitalize on it?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that from a number of folks going back a long time. I think, you know, even before the pandemic, people were really starting to push back on this idea that we have to be productive all the time. I think Kaylee is 100% right that it's not just American. It's really sort of a feature of, you know, maybe late capitalism or whatever you want to call it. This idea that everything needs to be monetized. And I think the pandemic just kind of turned into another version of that. But I love that she was able to pick up something where she's like, I'm not monetizing this. This is just going to be something for me. It's going to feel good. It's going to, you know, I'm going to be engaging with like these plant patterns. I think that's lovely. I mean, I did a certain amount of that myself during the pandemic and even before. I picked up coloring, you know, which like nobody wants my coloring books. I'm not going to be able to sell them. There's no possible market for this. And that is actually very calming.
We are talking to Anna North right now. She's a senior correspondent for Vox. She recently wrote a piece looking at this idea that people during the pandemic were supposed to basically treat it like a sabbatical, which really wasn't the case. And so all those lofty goals that you might have had to become a bodybuilder or to become the next great American novelist couldn't really come to fruition. And so, Anna, one thing that I wanted to talk about was this tweet that made the rounds from Roseanne Cash, where she really shortly after everything shut down, you know, maybe March 19th, I might be wrong on the date, where she said, just a reminder, Shakespeare wrote King Lear during his own quarantine. Of course, she's referring to what happened where there was a massive outbreak. A lot of people died. What were the responses to that? Because it kind of felt like a flashpoint in the early days of the shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of King Lear meme came about, and my colleague Constance Grady actually wrote a bunch about this, you know, back in April. So that's how long we've sort of been talking about productivity in the pandemic. But, you know, this idea that like, during other difficult periods, or especially even during periods of like lockdown or quarantine, these have been times of great creativity for people. So we saw, you know, Roseanne Cash and other people talking about King Lear, talking about Shakespeare and King Lear. We saw other folks talk about Isaac Newton, you know, I think coming up with some of his theories also during quarantine period. And again, it's sort of like, the impulse behind that isn't necessarily bad if you're just sort of musing and you're saying, like, look at what people were able to accomplish during these difficult times. I mean, we know people were able to accomplish really difficult things during the last 15 months. People have continued their jobs. People have done new things. You know, they've created great art. Like, people are still doing stuff. But I think the problem kind of came in when there was a sense that we were all supposed to be doing great work, or that this was going to be a sort of like uniquely creatively fertile time, when in fact it became for a lot of people one of the hardest times to even do anything.
Now we continue our talk with Vox senior correspondent Anna North about the mindset that really percolated up during the pandemic, that you should have had that time for growth and productivity and not just survival. You can join in on the conversation at 800-642-1234. Again, that number is 800-642-1234. We want to hear from you right here on Central Time. Now, Anna, before we took a break, you know, you were alluding to the fact that this wasn't just a year and a half where everything was neutral. This was a pandemic. There was a lot of trauma happening. Many people either knew someone that got sick, maybe even knew someone that died as a result of COVID-19. Looking at the trauma, it doesn't seem as though this would have naturally been a fertile time to be creative, right?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, it's super important to acknowledge that for a lot of people, this has been a time of immense loss. You know, we've lost hundreds of thousands of people. People have lost family members. They've lost friends. You know, the writer Aro Kwan wrote at the beginning of the pandemic about some of the even just smaller griefs. So if you haven't lost someone close to you, you know, you lost time with your loved ones. You lost just things you like to do that you weren't able to do. There were all these, you know, all these tiny losses kind of chipping away at our sense of well-being. And then add to that just the stress and anxiety. I mean, you know, luckily now, you know, I've been vaccinated, we have vaccines available, but I remember just the fear of like going to the grocery store, and I'm such a lucky person who was able to shelter at home and do my work at home. So, you know, the fact that very ordinary things suddenly became dangerous and scary, that takes a mental toll on a person. And I think we saw this, you know, in high levels of work burnout in people, you know, let alone being more productive and picking up a new skill, having trouble just doing their day to day, even if they had the privilege of working from home. So, you know, while I think this may have been a time when some people were able to, you know, get new things done or accomplish something new, I think for a lot of people, you know, even just doing what they were supposed to do could be a struggle.
I want to go to a caller right now. We have Landon in Dodgeville. Hi, Landon.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that I actually bought my first house basically at the very start of the pandemic. We closed on March 26th of all dates. And I basically proceeded to spend the next 12 months still gainfully employed, had the luxury of doing so, and basically investing pretty much all of the time and savings that I had kind of basically been, you know, ended up with during the pandemic, working on a home and developing skills in that way. But I guess during the whole time, it was sort of bittersweet that I felt very lucky to do so, and I was able to devote the energy that I had to that sort of, you know, asset that I had to put money and time into. But there are a lot of people who did not have that sort of luxury of something to even invest time and effort into. And so I just wanted to kind of point out a lot of like the class differences where people had the luxury of putting time and effort into something.
So, Landon, you're breaking up a little bit, but I caught the last bit of that. And thank you for that call. You know, Landon feels grateful that he was able to dedicate the time that he did have to these home improvement projects while also acknowledging that he was lucky in that regard, that he was able to devote the time. Do we hear, you know, maybe from some folks like Landon who were able to accomplish, you know, home improvement projects, a little bit of, I don't want to say guilt, but, you know, recognizing that things were a little bit easier for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I think we've even started to see research looking at a kind of survivor's guilt among just, you know, people of all walks of life right now. Like there, you know, again, there's been so much loss that if you've made it, you know, through the last 15, I know we're not out of it yet, but if you've even made it through the last 15 months, I think sometimes that can even be a source of guilt. And definitely, you know, Landon's story is so interesting because I do think we've heard from a lot of folks who like, we've been stuck at home, you know, people have been able to look at their living space and try to, you know, at least make it a comfortable place for them to be. At the same time, we've heard so many people getting evicted from their homes during this time, you know, even with eviction moratoria in place, or, excuse me, or being unable to pay their rent. So it's just, you know, almost any walk of American life you can imagine, or even walk of life worldwide, you know, there have been folks who have sort of been able to make it out okay during this time, but everything has been impacted in some way.
I want to go back to our callers right now. We have Kelly in Cascade. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is a great topic. You know, I was personally already kind of doing a dive into some personal creativity projects. And when the pandemic hit, I work in healthcare. I manage a team of frontline workers that are therapists, dealing with a lot of the, you know, just the issues that happen out in the community and in people's homes. I think on a personal note, just the seriousness of it, the magnitude of it, and seeing it so directly really drove me in my passion projects more deeply into why am I here? You know, what do I want to do with my time on the planet? I was already interested in climate action and climate change work, and decided to dovetail my health and wellness coaching with climate action coaching, and have created a lot of things out of that time. It just felt like fertile time to connect with myself around those things and to reach out and connect intentionally with people, not just locally, but really around the globe, who are committed to the same things, and to really draw the connections between health and climate change, climate justice. So I think in that way, it was a hard time. And I think hard times just force us to look at what really matters and what do we do with the precious time that we have.
Kelly, thank you so much for that call. And really taking a broader look here, Anna. So Kelly is talking about, how she worked during the pandemic. She did have, these projects that she was working on. And, you know, as time moved on, you know, it seemed like there was a little bit of a recalibration there where she decided, hey, I want to get more involved in these big issues that I care about, and I'm going to do it because we're rethinking how we spend our time here on this earth. Did you hear from more people who said, I rethought my job, I rethought my relationship to my career in light of the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that I and others, I think, are hearing really across our reporting. So not just for this story, but, in work I've done around jobs and careers and the economy in the last few months, I think there's a real reevaluation going on. It's been a time of just immense shakeup in people's work lives. So a lot of people got laid off. A lot of people got furloughed and then had the opportunity to come back, but weren't perhaps sure did they want to come back to the jobs they were in before, especially with, some slightly more social safety net in place now. People have a tiny bit of breathing room to say, is this what I want to be doing with my life? Do I want to, in some cases, be putting myself back in danger if it's folks who might be working frontline jobs in places where there's not high rates of vaccination? Or just the kind of thing that the caller is talking about, where, where does my meaning lie? Is the thing that I'm working on something that's meaningful to myself and society? And I think the last point I'd make is that, I think we have seen, among a lot of people that I talk to, sort of a greater social consciousness coming out of this time. I think it was a time when a lot of the problems in American society really came into such harsh relief. And I think there's reason to hope that we're not going to easily forget some of those problems or forget trying to work on solutions.
Sticking with that for just a moment, that feels like an individualistic, maybe broadening out to a more community-based, thought process for a person. But as someone who has been covering this, do you see, businesses or, these big structural areas, reacting and maybe meeting people where they are right now?
It's a really good question. One example is I did a story recently about the retail industry. We've been hearing across a lot of different sectors that there's a quote unquote labor shortage, or places are finding it hard to hire workers. And so we're really waiting to see, I think, is are businesses going to make jobs better to try to attract people, right? Like, are they going to pay higher wages? Are they going to give more paid time off so that people can pursue some of their personal lives or some of their passion projects? And I think we're seeing some encouraging signs, but it's still not yet at a place where, you know, workers have a ton of systemic power in society or where there's really like organized bargaining power. So I think we're in a tough spot where there's a lot of people are sort of waking up to inequality, to questions of the environment, to questions of poverty, you know, but whether, say, American corporations are going to react in the same way, I think that's going to depend on a lot of factors, including legislative action, collective action, you know, and whether some of these kind of individual wake-up calls can, as you say, become more collective.
Well, Anna, we will have to leave it there, but we should have you back on to talk more about this. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Anna North, a senior correspondent for Vox. She covers care work and education, and she was with us today to talk about her recent piece, Lockdown Was Not a Sabbatical. Don't worry if you haven't grown as a person during the pandemic.